Heavenly Father, quieten our minds from our busy day. Give us receptive hearts, listening ears, and obedient will, so that we may hear your word and obey it. Teach us to pray, and make us effective prayer warriors for the glory and honor of your name. Amen. I think it's booming a little bit. If you could reduce the... you look after it, Greg. That's marvelous. And I can forget about it. Now, last week, we looked at what prayer is, what prayer is not, and why pray. Today, we are going to look at praying together and how to make it rich. Now, no kind of classroom coaching can teach you to ride a cycle. I remember a story of a bishop coming for tea at confirmation service in the vicarage, and the vicar wanted to impress the bishop, and when the tea was ready, told his 5 or 7 year old Alison, "Alison, would you say grace before we have our tea?" So Alison said, "I don't know. Well, just thank the Lord for the food." She said, "I don't know what to say." "Well, say what Mummy said this morning." So she knelt, she bowed her heads and says, "Oh Lord, why did you have to bring this wretched bishop for tea this afternoon?" Now, most people find it difficult even to say grace at meals, let alone pray in public. We live in an instant commodity world. Instant coffee, instant tea, pot noodle, even curry and rice or whatever it is. But you cannot just add hot water and then, hey presto, we got instant prayer warrior. Just as swimming and cycling, you have to learn it in practice, so also in prayer. No other way. There is no other way. But once you understand the principles and the practice of it, it is easier than cycling or swimming. And it will become the greatest joy in your life. And you would want to do it more and more than anything else in the world. You know, you could hardly find a book on the subject of praying together. So I have gathered all my mistakes which I have made, which I have committed, and how to avoid them. We will look at it. So we can make the praying together effective, interesting, and exciting. So our first heading is breaking the ice. Breaking the ice. Are you frozen at the mouth at prayer meetings? If praying at prayer meetings strikes terror in your heart, you are not alone. Many are afraid to pray in public and avoid it as much as possible. You know, I've thought to myself, well, in a prayer meeting, I can't pray like John or Robbie or Brenda. When I open my mouth, nothing seems to come out. The very thought of it makes my mouth dry. What will they think? What if I don't say the right things? My diction and grammar are terrible. Too often, what should be an experience in worship becomes a source of fear and trembling. Dismayed, we remain silent in prayer meetings because we fail to understand the very first principles about prayer. I remember when I first wanted to pray in that rectory in here. My heart began to bound, you know, like, you know, the person who's sitting next to me could hear it thumping, you know, like, slow down, you know. It was agony. This is because we are more more often concentrating on what we have to say than the person we are talking to. If you are like me, let me give you a simple, helpful tip that I have found most useful. Now, nowadays when I pray, I close my eyes and I imagine Jesus is sitting right beside me. And I talk to him. And if I'm in a prayer group with about 20 people, I imagine Jesus, I look at the person who is farthest away from me. And that's where Jesus is sitting. And I talk to him so that he can hear it. So that everybody can say, Amen. Now, if you are talking to a friend, you don't have to build up every sentence before you utter them, do you? When I'm talking to you, I'm not saying, thinking what I'm saying, tick, 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 tick. No, what I want to say, tick, 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 tick. No, we are having a conversation. So, furthermore, if I talk to my wife, as some people pray in the prayer meeting, I'll be locked up in the lunatic asylum. Now, just imagine, I go back to home, ring the bell, or open the door, my wife comes in, and I said, my wife, who has married me 20 years ago, who has been very good to me, who has looked after my children, and what's this wrong with this fellow? Is he gone mad? He sent for the vicar. Gone out of his mind, berserk. You know, what God looks in our prayer is sincerity and realism, not ritualism. Just talk to him as you would talk to your loving father and heavenly king, with reverence, realism, sincerity, and humility. And just lift your voice so that others can join in the conversation with the Lord and say, yes, that's my wish. You know, don't mumble like a bee. I remember go to a prayer meeting. Amen. For what amen? I don't know. I don't hear a word what was said. How can others say amen and mean it? Amen means, yes, that's my wish too. And we are asking together in Jesus' name. Speak up. Be audible. And don't cup your hands. Very holy, you know. People cup your hands up and speak. It's rude in English language to speak to another person when cupping your hands right down. I mean, I've done it myself. Even now I'll do it without realizing it. I have to be conscious of it. So in your prayer meeting, don't cup your hands like that and pray. And if you've got a few people around you, just lift your head up and speak in the same level as the people's heads are, so that everybody could say, yes, that's what I want. That's my prayer. So that everybody could hear it. And, well, if you find it difficult, if you are nervous, use one sentence prayer. Even if you can't say that, take the Bible, read a psalm. Just one sentence, amen. Praise you the Lord, amen. There are many verses in the psalm you could do that. Or write it down from home and read it in the prayer meeting. You know, get used to your own voice. It's terrifying when you listen to your own voice for the first time at a prayer meeting. And I can tell you, if I listen to my own tape, I'll never speak again. It is very difficult. I remember speaking, I learned to pray in St. Helens in the Monday evening men's prayer meeting. First time I realized how to pray, and I began to pray, and halfway through, I lost. And everything went blank. And I said, Lord, I'm tongue-tied. Amen. And our church warden, Ronald Wilcox, he came to me and he said, Vijay, that's the best prayer I've heard, because you're talking to the Lord. Well, don't you, when I'm talking to you, when you get worried, you say, well, I missed the place. Now, what was I talking about? He can say, Lord, I'm sorry, tongue-tied. Talk to the Lord. Don't shut him off from your prayer. You know, you're talking to the living God, not to a dumb idol. We have a living God. Our prayers are not like Hindu prayers or any other prayers. 1 John 5, 15 and 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 and 15. So, breaking the ice. Secondly, be conversant. Be conversant. You know, we can be the greatest chinwaggers in the world, but when it comes to conversing with Christ at a prayer meeting, we lose all our boldness. You know, Christians come to pray and never pray in a prayer meeting. Well, last week we learned that prayer is sharing a conversation with God, our Father and our friend. And this becomes easier if you have learned to talk to Jesus throughout the day. Now, just imagine John Tillett here, a friend of mine who lives in our parish, is a Christian. Now, I can never go and tell John Tillett, John, would you go to CLC and get me a book if I wanted it? But I can go to John Stansfield, another colleague of mine, and say, John, would you get a book from CLC tomorrow? And John says, well, I haven't got time. Now, John, would you do it? Because I have talked to him all the time. We have a relationship. Now, my relationship with John Stansfield is not any less or more than my relationship with John Tillett. Both have got John, both are Christians, but I have a greater conversational relationship with John Stansfield. So if you have talked to the Lord during the daytime, it is easier to extend that in a prayer meeting. Be conversant with Jesus throughout the day and see how easy it is to pray at the prayer meeting. Some people say, I've got nothing to say. How sad. Either you are not conversant with the Lord, or you are not burdened for the people who are lost. Just imagine your neighbors, your colleagues are going to hell without Christ. Aren't you burdened for them? If you are not, you ask the Lord to pour his burden on you. And our third heading, building together. Building together. The quickest way to kill a prayer meeting is for the leader to announce four items and pray for all the four at one go. Kill it stone dead. I remember giving a book to my friend, you know, who prays with me regularly some time ago. And he, in the book it is said, don't pray all the prayer. If you're leading a prayer, don't give and pray all the things that you're talked about in one go. And he brought back next week the book. And he said, Vijay, tremendous book. Marvelous. And he sat down. And he announced six items. And he prayed all the six at one go. It didn't make a least of difference. Please. We are building together. And with prayer we are building together. Attacking the enemy. Together. A united friend. With many thrusts. And the person who is leading the prayer doesn't get a pat on the back. He doesn't get extra 2 ounces of sugar. Of course not. We are all in it together. With one mind. Each one is involved in it. As much as the other person. As much as the person who is leading. You know, at the prayer meeting, don't just hear the prayer. just listen, you know, just hearing it being said and say amen. That's passive participation. You know, be with one mind, said Jesus. And you can't do it if you're hearing the prayer. You know, how easy it is for your mind to wander around if you are not praying the prayer together with the person who is leading it. Your body is there, but the mind has gone far away. It's left the scene. I wonder what I will wear tomorrow. I must do that job. Oh yes, the goal, Liverpool score is fantastic. It's marvelous. You're listening to the prayer, but in your mind, you're thinking many things. I wonder if you got boys. I've got two boys. They do their homeworks, switching on the radio. Passive participation to the background music and active involvement in their homework. You know, sometimes we can be like that. You know, we can be passive participation with the prayer that's been prayed. Active involvement is what we're going to do tomorrow. What have we to do tomorrow? Oh, that job we have to do. No, not only hear the prayer, say the prayer. No wonder we are frozen at the mouth at prayer meetings. You know, praying in the prayer meeting when other people are leading, effectively concentrating, is the best way to learn to lead the prayer next time. Because as you are praying, you get used to praying, and the next, when the person is stopped, if he has missed something, you can carry on praying. Get a pencil and paper. That's important. Because if there are 6 items we want to pray, write it down. Because I remember I never took a pencil and paper. The Holy Spirit will tell me, I thought. And after about, you know, 1 item or 2 item, I'm not quite sure what has been prayed and what hasn't been prayed. And I'm in a mix-up. And then you're afraid to pray. So get a pencil and paper. Write it down. And one glance, you know exactly what has been asked and what hasn't been prayed. It helps you. I remember the time when we were in the prayer meeting, you know, I looked at the item, I'll pray for that. And then I fixed what I have to pray, I think in my mind. And just about I was going to pray, somebody jumps the gun. I said, ugh. But never mind, I'll pray the next one. So I fix my attention and see what I have to say. And just before I pray, somebody else jumped the gun. Ah. And my prayer meeting would be, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Because we haven't understood what prayer meeting is all about. If, you know, the Lord really taught me. If I wanted to pray on something, if somebody jumps the gun, what happens is the Holy Spirit is working in more than one people's heart and mind to pray for that prayer. So if somebody else jumps the gun, I said, marvelous! Praise you, God! And I can pray with much more confidence for that prayer that has been prayed. And then listen and pray with that person. And if he has missed something, carry on and ask for that thing which he has missed or which God has put in my mind. We can pray with extra confidence if you know that. We are building together. Each one of us has a part to do in our prayer meeting. So Acts 1:14, all these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer. Matthew 18:19, again I say to you, if 2 of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. So, building together. Our fourth point is basically short. Basically short. In Matthew 6:7, Jesus said, and in praying, do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Basically short. You know, the maximum duration any man, ordinary person, could concentrate on a prayer is 1 minute. After 1 minute, your mind begins to wander. That is why our old forefathers are very clever people. If you look at the Anglican college, that's delightfully a 1 minute duration. Because that's the maximum we could concentrate. If anyone prays more than 1 minute, approximately, my mind boggles and wanders around into the strangest of scenes from the prayer meeting. And the effective way of doing it, see if something, say, Fred Herding gone to the hospital, or somebody has got some work to do, somebody can say, Lord, help Mary to have your peace in her heart. And somebody else can say, Lord, help her husband, Fred, to draw his strength from you. And somebody else can pray, Lord, let the doctors and the nurses have enough wisdom to understand what is wrong. You know, there are many things you can add in. Everybody can take part if you make your prayer short and concise. Now, just imagine, suppose if you're praying and if you haven't prayed everything what you want, you shift the subject on something else. It doesn't matter. You can come back to it again. There's no harm if you pray twice for the same thing that you have written in your list. You know, this helps everyone to take part in the prayer meeting and make it wonderfully rich. Sometimes in a prayer meeting, there are young Christians there who can't say long prayers. And if you say a long prayer, the other person will say, oh, I can't pray like that. But if you say a short prayer, it helps. So what I do is when I go to a prayer meeting, if somebody prays a long prayer, I would say, Lord, praise you that you are absolutely holy. Amen. And the next person can say, oh, that's short. I can say something like that. So make it short. Nothing kills a prayer meeting than the same three old saints praying all the time, bless their souls, you know, all the time. What a terrible thing. Everybody wants to take part. And it also helps us from heaping empty words to add beauty and color to the prayer. You know the famous saying, you all know it, about the spider. Somebody, you know, prayed, Lord, take away the cobwebs of my heart, take away the cobwebs of my heart. After a week, the next man said, Lord, kill that spider. It's quite a well-known story. Everybody knows that. And some can go on and on and on and on. I remember one meeting, a chairman stood up and he said, let's sing a hymn while our brother finishes Lamentations. And one famous Christian he walked in and he was converted because he stayed behind. That's good. Some sense here. And don't copy other people's prayer unless you make it your own. Otherwise, you'll end up in a big dramatic society or something like that. Be honest. Never say, thank you, Lord, when you don't feel thank you in your heart. Psalm 139, verse 4. Even a word before it comes from our lips, God knows it all together. You don't have to be a hypocrite to Him. If in your heart you don't feel thank you, say, Lord, I don't feel thank you. Would you give me a thankful heart? And that's honesty. Don't say, Lord, I praise you. When you're in your heart, you say, I don't feel like praising Him. All you have to say, Lord, I don't feel like praising you. Oh, you're a terrible man. Oh, I mean, I could kill you. You could say that. Psalmist said that. Because in your heart feeling, you're sharing with your Heavenly Father. And He would show you where you're wrong. Be honest. Tell Him, Lord, I'm terrible. I'm depressed. I can't even say praise you. Would you help me? Have you heard two ladies talking? Yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak. I remember once two of my friends, and I said, I can't understand both of you are talking. How could you understand? How could you go on? And they said, we've got so much to say, we've got only 10 minutes. That's the only way we could say everything at the one go. Let's listen to God at the same time as we pray and know His will, seek His mind. So let's be honest. And sixth, be there. Be there. You know, if you go into a theater, you would make sure that you are there on time, wouldn't you? Before the curtain raises. On time. There's nothing tragic if you talk around in the prayer meeting, you know, after the time is finished. When the door creaks in, 20 people are praying. I've noticed it, even now. 20 people are praying. As soon as the door creaks, 20 eyes goes like that. Sit down. You know, you look around, your eyes wander around, and you lost the unity in the prayer meeting. Don't come if you're late. Do come in, but what I'm saying is be there on time, because you can disturb other people. Poor support at prayer meetings betrays poor spiritual health. A Christian group that doesn't bother to meet for prayer has not grasped either the importance of prayer or the urgency of the situation that it demands. You know, no work of God has ever been known to prosper without determined prayer support. But be there. But don't condemn others who happen not to be there. I remember we had a prayer meeting at 7:30 on Saturday morning in our church. And when I, you know, joined the church in my early days, he asked me whether we want to come. Yes, I want to be there. And I got there at 7:30. We have got 300 or 400 adult members in our church. Four people. I said, where's everybody? 500 people in the congregation and four people? No, I got very much annoyed. You know, don't condemn other people. I didn't realize the mom has to get up and make breakfast and the dads are going to go somewhere else and things like that. So, what happened was my prayer was killed. Stone dead. When I realized what was happening, I changed my attitude. If I come to a prayer meeting and there's only four people, I said, praise God. We got four here. We got a quorum. Four and God is a majority. You know, that's enough. So I said, thank you, Lord. We have put burden in four people's heart to pray. And I can praise and thank God and we have a smashing prayer time. Don't condemn other people. It goes against your attitude. Do you know, I wanted to pray for my office. And I wanted one man to come and pray with me. And I prayed for 10 years. And I just got one man a few months ago. What I'm saying, suppose you may have to wait a long time. But it's God's work. I never condemned anybody. We've got other people, we've got other problems. But I prayed, Lord, please burden somebody's heart so that we can pray for the work of the society and for the other Christians. I mean, you have to discipline yourself because the devil is always quite close by to tell you that somebody else ought to be there. Then not to give church notices. Be there. You know, sometimes when we meet to prayer and something happens, right in the middle of the prayer, somebody will say, Lord, Fred has gone to the hospital and did this and did that and did that. He's giving notice. So I'm always listening to what he has to say instead of praying. If you have to announce something in the middle of the prayer meeting, just say, let's stop. I've got this to say. Would you pray? And then we can pray together. See, God knows everything what happened. You don't have to inform him. So don't give church notices. Never use your prayer meeting as a means of telling your friends the news. If you do so, your concern will shift from the need of the thing that you're praying for. Then don't preach. You know, I've done it. In a prayer meeting, he sat down and I said the prayer. I hope he heard it. fix him up, you know. I hope he heard it, you know. Marvelous, you know. I'm preaching to my neighbor or my friend who's sitting in the next to me. See, my vertical prayer becomes horizontal if I do preaching in a prayer meeting. Don't worry about you're talking to God, not to your neighbor when you're praying. You're talking with your neighbor to God. So don't preach. And try not to pray for the first person singular. It'll help. It doesn't matter if you do it, but it'll help not to. See, if I've got a problem, and if I'm praying in about 20 people or 10 people together, and if I say, Lord, I have got a problem, well, you may not have the problem. You see, you can't be united. See, if you've got something to pray, tell your friends and somebody else can pray. Try to avoid first person singular, because we are working together. You can say we. You're leading in prayer. Everybody's together. Suppose if you've got an interview tomorrow, you can say, well, I've got an interview tomorrow. Would you please pray? We are praying together. So do not pray for the first person. If you possibly can. And then by faith. By faith. Hebrews 10:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith is a confidence in God and is a gift from God. It depends on His character than our ability to have faith. You know, just imagine your administrator, Giles Rawlinson and Caroline. If I ask them that, I mean, to be get ready for going for a theater show, and if I didn't turn up about 3 times in my appointment, he would think, oh, poor Vijay, he's got Indian Standard Time. He wouldn't have much faith in me, would he? You know, we come to God not with blind faith, but with real confidence. Don't force your prayers. Remember a Christian friend of mine saying that a lady prayed, went to his vicar and said, the Bible says, if I pray with faith, God will answer, even take the mountains away. So the vicar said, yes, if you have faith, it will happen. So I've got a mountain at the back of my house, and when I look from my bedroom, it's spoiling the valley next door, miles away. Can I pray? He said, if you've got faith, your God will take it. So she knelt down at night, and she says, Lord, I know you can do it. You died for me. You are tremendous. Would you remove that mountain tomorrow by the time I get up? I know you could do it. And she got up in the morning, pulled the curtain out, and still the mountain was there. And she said, I thought so. Now, faith in Christian life is real confidence. Just imagine if I'm coming from my office in 71 Fenchurch Street, and you stop me at 5 o'clock. And it's Vijay, there's a Hindu chap right in Guy's hospital. He had an accident and he's asking about godly things. Would you come and talk to him? And I can come and come with you straight away, talk to that Hindu till about 11 o'clock at night or 12 o'clock at night, and go back to my house, and I can be absolutely sure my wife would not be worried. My children would have fed. They would be fast asleep, and my wife would have been fast asleep. I don't have to force myself to think, because she's done it before, all the time. See, our confidence in God with the things what God has done. In the similar way, the little things God has helped us gives us confidence to ask more things about Him. And let our confidence grow as we grow in Christ. Don't stretch your faith. You know, my faith in God depends upon God's character. He is faithful even when I am faithless. And to answer my prayer and the ability to trust Him. So I don't generally pray something which I am sure God is not going to give me. Pray with faith and in confidence. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, that He rewards those who seek Him. And finally, be conscious. Be conscious. Two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all what that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, when we pray in public or in a group, we should remember the contrast between the true prayers of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's good to meditate on it when you get home. We must not pray to display our goodness, but to share our needs. Now let's look at the prayers then. The Pharisee prayed more to impress on other people and gave a long list of his qualities. He prayed with himself. He just prayed with himself. He didn't want anything. He was too proud. And he wanted to impress his superiority to the other people in the temple, over the tax collectors and other people. While the prayer of the tax collector was completely opposite. We know that, don't we? He was in need. He wanted something from God. And he knew that he didn't even deserve it. Isn't it marvelous? And when we come to God, let's be conscious of to whom we are coming to. That we are indeed in the flesh. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That we need daily cleansing to be able to talk to God. That we don't have to impress him with our plus X qualities. You know, when we pray in groups, let's be conscious of sharing our needs with God than trying to impress those at the prayer meeting with our wonderful prayers. Also, let us be conscious of telling God the needs of others rather than worrying whether we have said it right. You know, when we are conscious of the above, we will realize that we don't need any special skill to pray in a prayer meeting. Be conscious of his promises, and then you will have to know, for that you'll have to know them. So I've got three golden rules as we close. I always remember that. Three golden rules. Be short, be audible, and don't worry about your grammar. And we said about 7 or 8 things. Now let me tell you, even now, I know it, I've talked about it, I have to be conscious of it when I pray. The devil is always at hand, the flesh is always at hand, the world is always at hand. You have to, it's a battle. And you can't just learn them by heart and forget it. It's an effort that you have to do to pray. So let's bow our heads and pray for one another as we say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.